broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web. You're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSR HealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Bow to the people! Bow to the people! It's time for Bow to the People. Come on, way. Come on now. Bow to the people. Bow to the people. Bow to the people. It's Bow to the People.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Powell to the People, live on the radio. Wayne Powell here at the beach, and we have our program director and sound engineer, South Bay J, in the studio. Well, you know, I always seem to lately start out with the weather, not a forecast, but, you know, how the weather is today. And, you know, spring has sprung, but it seems like summer already. Although it was a little bit of overcast at the beach this morning, but, you know, the weather is nice and warm. But I've heard the forecast say that's not going to last too long, and you might have some rain this weekend. But, you know, anyone who's a regular listener to my show knows that I wish it was summer year-round. And I always say how some people will tell me, oh, you're an idiot. That would be too boring. You know, that's the kind of boringness I could live with. Happily, actually. So we'll see how the weather turns out. But, you know, everyone, now that we're officially in the spring, everyone's saying, okay, it's time for spring cleaning. This morning, actually, I turned on the TV, and there's this tech guy, and he was talking about cleaning up your computers inside and out. He was showing you the safe way, you know, to clean a screen. You don't want to use any harsh detergents, you know, like Windex. And then, of course, on the inside, you know, clearing out the cache, and then any apps that you don't use or anything that comes up automatically, or even going through downloaded files and cleaning them up. You know, all of that stuff, well, with the exception of the cleaning of the actual exterior of whatever your device is, whether it's a laptop or a PC or tablet or even a phone, smartphone, or even smartwatch, anything. But internally, when you clean up files and the cache, as they call it, you know, where the cookies are stored, so-called cookies, which I do, not necessarily for that, but they're, you know, many of them are tracking cookies, and I don't want marketers tracking my every keystroke and then selling it, you know, selling all of that data. But anyways, that, you know, clears out and removes a lot of the unnecessary stuff that takes up storage space, but also it can improve the speed of your device. Now, I do that regularly. It's not just like a spring cleaning. You know, in the past, spring cleaning was clean out your house. You know, if you got a bunch of knickknacks, or maybe even if you're a hoarder, you know, get rid of all the clutter. And I remember the first time I heard the term decluttering, and I'm saying to myself, what the heck is that? So now, if anything, I do need to not declutter my house, but, you know, do some dusting and window cleaning. So especially, there's still a lot of soot and ash and stuff from the wildfires. So we did have a really heavy wind, what was it, a couple of weekends ago. And what was interesting is a house that's in front of me, between me and the ocean, on the roof, they did a painting, and then they put in rain gutters and trim, and they put all the junk, left all the junk, the old stuff, on the roof. And, well, we had super heavy winds, and again, I think it was like about a week and a half ago, maybe 2 weeks. It blew all of that off. Hopefully nobody got hit or hurt by the flying debris, but that took care of that problem. So the unsightliness is gone. So, but anyways, enough of spring cleaning. Now, you know, people that listen to my show know that I don't talk politics on my show. And now, lately, on social media or just in interpersonal relationships, I don't talk politics. Now, I do talk local politics, you know, having been a former city council member and mayor, but I don't get involved in national politics, particularly, you know, presidential politics. I used to correct people when they made false statements or, you know, I don't like when people are spreading rumors, so I try and be a nice person and correct them. But with all the divisiveness going on these days, I've learned, and I learned my lesson once on social media, you know, I just kind of mind my own business. Now, if somebody posts something that's false, whether it's political or any type of false information, if you don't feel comfortable, you know, telling the person, you know, that it's incorrect or untruthful, there's at least for Facebook, but I think it's on all social media, you can report it, and it's done anonymously, so, or at least they don't know who reported them, and you can report it to, it's called Facebook administrators, and then they'll actually tell you that, you know, whether or not it was removed. And then one time when they said, yeah, that's false, we removed it, I went to the person's page where they had the false information, and they actually covered it up, and they said that it was false, and you know, it had been deleted. They don't delete everything in its entirety, so that's even more embarrassing to the person that posted it. But that's one way of doing it. But that brings me to what I wanted to talk about. I went to a non-political event. It was yesterday, and there was a group of people that were, you know, and this was political falsehoods, you know, they were just saying false information. And so I went and got my phone out, I Googled it, and I looked under Snopes.com, and then also when I just Googled it generically, you know, came up with the deaths. Obviously false, and it had reliable sources. So I said, you know, by the way, that's actually not true, what you're saying. Perhaps maybe you didn't know it. And these were highly educated people. It was not, you know, well, I hate to use the word ignoramuses, but these people were rather smart. And I didn't know whether or not you know, they were unaware that it was false, or, you know, some people knowingly, you know, spread false information. And for that, it's more of a concern, because that's kind of like ethics or morality, or maybe just a trust thing. You know, if there's knowingly spreading false information, I don't know that I can trust anything that they're saying. But I told them that what they were saying was false, and I was doing it respectfully and politely. And they says, no, it's true. We've heard it from so many different people. And I said, well, the fact that a number of people are saying things, and particularly with the Internet, you know, things spread and they become viral. And but the fact that a number of people are saying something that's incorrect doesn't make it correct. Or something that's false, it doesn't make it truthful. And so, and then they were challenging, you know, the reliable sources. So at that point, I kind of figured that they were well aware that it was false. And again, this was something political, And sadly, there's just too much of that going on. Although one one member of the group later privately thanked me. But, you know, to me, that's a problem as well. I mean, why don't you have the, the moral compass to, in the presence of everyone, say that you're right, you're correct. But they were going on and on. There were a number of different things, and they're totally false. And you can fact check it, you know, till the cows come home, and every reliable source will tell you it's false. Now, there was one hit that came up when I did the Google search, and it didn't say the information was true, but it kept pontificating kind of the information, and it turned out, of course, that was a political website that, you know, that hit was where the information was on, or I should say, misinformation. But, you know, here I am, and I prefaced it by saying, now I'm not being political, and don't weigh in on whether I'm on, you know, one side or the other. They always say the liberal extreme left or the conservative far right or whatever the terms. Of course, there's nasty terms that, you know, one side or the other some people use. I'm just trying to be helpful. And in case maybe you're unaware of the information, but that's not correct, that, you know, now you'll know. And, you know, you won't be spreading incorrect information. I didn't say it in so many terms. I was kind of like dancing around just trying to be upbeat and respectful. And these people, I knew then that they knew that the information wasn't true, but the premise that, oh, well, everyone's saying that, so it has to be true. If it wasn't, you know, all these people wouldn't be saying it, and that's definitely not true. And, they used to have, like, before the Internet, before technology, they had rumor control. I think there was a phone number you could call to verify rumors, because once they start spreading, and some people have nothing better to do but to deliberately spread it, and they spread it on websites, or they make up stuff that they put on websites knowing that, it's either going to go viral or, people are going to be, just spreading it. Now, you have the other aspect, and, most people remember, I think they referred to it as the phone game, where one person tells something, who tells another person, who tells another person, who tells yet another person, and by the time it gets to, successive number of people, the actual accuracy is that it's inaccurate, or it's distorted, or it's not what was originally told. And that's not due to any intentionality. It's just, people say things differently, and then people hear things differently. And so that's one thing, how, rumors get started, or not get started, but, goes around. And it's not really a rumor. It's just things that, are getting told differently, and then it gets out of control. But I want to distinguish that from people that either are intentionally spreading misinformation or disinformation, as well as those that just believe it. They don't question it. Especially they say, well, I've heard it from so many different sources, so it has to be true. If in doubt, do your own due diligence and check something out. And also, don't be afraid to tell somebody or show somebody. Because sometimes people honestly think something's correct when it's not. And you'd be surprised how thankful they are when you let them know tactfully that it's not. And they'll stop repeating something that, may be incorrect. you'll find out that the person pretty much knows what they're doing, and then maybe you shouldn't trust them in general, or maybe you shouldn't even associate yourself with them, or at least weigh everything they say with a grain of salt. So, but that's what's happening, you know, in our society, and of course with technology, with the internet and social media, things can spread rather rapidly, and so, but you know, I was a bit surprised because I thought better of one person in the group that was totally adamant that, you know, what was being said was truthful. And it wasn't the person who actually said it, and also said that, you know, that, oh, well, of course it's true. I've seen it all over the internet. Well, again, why don't you look at a reliable source? Or just check the sources where you're seeing it, because more often than not, it's, you know, not a reliable source. Anyways, enough of that. The one thing I did want to reiterate is if you see it on social media, you can report it to, in the case, let's say, Facebook, to the Facebook administrator. And sometimes it may take a while before you get a response. And, you know, the person who was reported didn't know that you reported it. And so if it comes up where then their, you know, action was taken on the post, then if they didn't know that it was incorrect, now they will, and you didn't have to, you know, maybe hurt a relationship with somebody by trying to correct them or inform them. If they're doing it intentionally, then they're going to know that they can't get away with that stuff. So, I can only imagine what staff has to be available, like on Facebook, to go through all of that. Or maybe that's yet another thing that AI checks into. Now, you know, one thing about artificial intelligence is it scours the internet, and that's how it gets a lot of its information database. And sometimes it scans incorrect data, and then, you know, decisions are being made based on that. And they actually have a monitor, not one monitor, but a number of them, that go through and weed out the stuff. Plus, they also feed into the AI algorithms, you know, falsehoods, and they put it in, you know, tagged as a falsehood. So when it comes up, you know, then it knows that not to, you know, use that erroneous information. And in fact, I saw on someone's Facebook page, they'd posted a comment, and Facebook had, you know, covered it and said, this was found in another post, and it was determined to be erroneous. So oftentimes, I think they have bots scouring the Facebook, and I'm sure this is true all throughout the internet, looking for if, you know, something was determined to be false. Whenever it sees it anywhere else, then, you know, it does the auto correction. I don't think you can call it auto correction. I don't want to use the term censorship, but, you know, it flags it, maybe is a better word. Okay, so enough of that. Now, one thing I did want to mention, I'm not sure why I'm laughing. It's not really funny, but I saw a Tesla truck. I think they call it a Cybertruck. And of course, anyone who knows me knows that I think it's an ugly vehicle, and I don't think I'm alone in that opinion. But I saw one that had graffiti on it, and I think in some cases they call it a Tesla swastika or something like that. I took a photo of it, and I posted it on Facebook, and I didn't have it there for long because that started an interesting, I'll use the term interesting, discussion, and I deleted it. But, you know, right now, apparently a number of people are upset with Elon Musk, and they're taking it out on Tesla owners, not just Tesla trucks, the Cybertrucks that I mentioned, but, you know, all Tesla vehicles. And no one should vandalize any vehicle for any reason. Now, I know some people have bought stickers. They own people, the actual Tesla owners, they bought stickers for their car, and they say, yeah, I hate Elon, too. And then I saw one just yesterday that they put an F in front of the Elon, so it looks like felon. I thought that was funny. In fact, I almost got in a wreck. I was laughing so hard. You know, you shouldn't vandalize any cars. If the owner wants to put a sticker on it, then that's fine. But I think other people are buying those stickers or making their own, putting them on, you know, Teslas. Or worse, you know, people are setting them on fire. They're doing, you know, bad things at Tesla dealers. And you shouldn't vandalize any other person's property. And if you want a sticker, your own property, if you're a Tesla owner, and some people are upset because they think Elon Musk is giving Tesla a bad name, and it's, you know, kind of bad for their vehicles, you can do whatever you want for your own car. Now, on that note, we have to take a commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Powell to the People on the Healthy Life Radio Network.
It's Power to the People.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best Earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. EarthChannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now. So come to EarthChannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 1-800-849-8978. That's 1-800-849-8978.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
Love with Food delivers healthy, natural, organic, or gluten-free snacks every month right to your door. Whether you want a home or business box, Love with Food has got you covered. Membership starts at $9.99 a month. Imagine junk-free food delivered every month. And the best thing is that for every box you buy, Love with Food donates to food banks in America. To find out more, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click the Love with Food banner. And do it right now.
Get high-quality glasses, sunglasses, and prescription lenses at eyeglasses.com. Choose from over 250,000 items and 400 brands. Already have frames? Get replacement lenses. It's easy. Go to our advertiser page and click eyeglasses.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
It's Powell to the People.
Welcome back. You're listening to Powell to the People. Now, you know, that cyber vehicle, yeah, I don't know what they were thinking, but I saw that there's a car made in China that's kind of looks very similar to the cyber truck. And it's like, what were they thinking? It's bad enough creating something like that, but it's one thing copying that. Now, if any of my friends that are Tesla owners or cyber truck owners, I apologize, you know, for my comments. But, you know, one thing also about the Cybertruck is they're recalling practically every Cybertruck that was ever made because the vehicle's metal panel, the panels have been falling off with a high degree of regularity or frequency, and it's caused a number of traffic accidents. People have gotten flat tires when they were following behind one of the trucks and ran over it. And so, and apparently it's like the eighth recall, at least the eighth recall of the Cybertruck. So, you know, when you're considering buying a car, and I think the Blue Book values look at things like, you know, amounts of recalls and things like that. Now, one thing about Teslas in general that I just learned today was that the Tesla insurance, or insurance on Tesla vehicles, are disproportionately higher than any other vehicles. And actually, that also holds true for all electric vehicles, not so much Tesla, but not quite to the extent of Tesla. Now, why, you may ask? Well, specifically with regard to Tesla, now lately they've been subject to vandalism, and so, and that, you know, is a factor. Cars that are more prone to vandalism, or more importantly, theft, you pay a higher premium because of that, because, of course, insurance is all risk-based. But also, electric vehicles have higher repair costs, partly because of the lithium batteries that are expensive to replace. And, oh, as insofar as insurance, there's been a number of fires due to the, you know, spontaneous combustion of lithium batteries. And now I know why people plug in their vehicles in their driveway instead of inside their house. I was always wondering, why are they plugging them in outside? And then when a firefighter, let's say there's a car accident and someone's trapped, and the firefighter has to use the jaws of life, they have to be very, very careful. And also, they can't use water if the car's on fire, and even certain types of foam, you know, foam retardant, because that creates a chemical reaction. And so, you know, that's an issue, a safety issue, but of course I'm sure it factors in, you know, to the electrical cost. Now, I remember EVs that were once promoted as being, you know, had, when they were relatively new, that they had lower maintenance costs, you know, unlike a gas-powered vehicle where you got to tune it up, you have to do lube and oil changes, and, you know, there's more moving mechanical parts. But I read in an article over the weekend that it's actually the opposite, that electric vehicles have higher repair costs. First of all, of course, the battery replacement, which costs thousands of dollars. But most importantly, there's electrical shorts, and then apparently in severe rainstorms or snowstorms, there's, you know, issues. And then, you know, when you have just a conventional car, sometimes you have to deal with a blown fuse, and sometimes trying to find out which fuse it is or where the fuses are located, you know, is an issue. And then sometimes things happen like, you know, the horn will go off incessantly, or, you know, with power windows, they won't go up. And especially in rain, or I had a problem once with the previous car with the moonroof or sunroof wouldn't close. So, you know, but those are mechanical parts. But I think the problem I had was with the electronics. It was actually a short in the switch. But apparently with electric vehicles, there's more electrical stuff that can go wrong and does go wrong or wears out. So, apparently, you know, you have to deal with higher insurance costs and also, you know, higher maintenance costs, allegedly. I'm not an expert. I just, you know, read what I see, but it does kind of make a lot of sense. Now, one other thing about electric cars, and I'm not bashing EVs or hybrids, but I read an article where electricity theft is now an issue, and that's where an EV owner will plug in, they'll drive somewhere, and sometimes they do it to one of their neighbors. Their neighbors have an electrical outlet on the outside of their house. They'll plug into someone else's electricity. It used to be you could plug in for free, and I remember the city of Manhattan Beach, which I'm familiar with, you know, they have those EV charging stations, and it was free, but they had a limit of you could only be plugged in for 2 hours. And it's kind of like, you know, sometimes parking, there's 2 hour, 4 hour, or 6 hour parking limit, and that's to provide turnover so everyone, others can have a chance to park. Then the city of Manhattan Beach, they now charge for plugging in. Now, I know a lot of people have photovoltaic cells, on their solar panels, on their roofs, and they're getting renewable energy, and that's great, but others don't, and so they have to plug in. And, of course, there's also been talk about the fact that people say, I got an EV because I'm all in reducing our carbon footprint, carbon emissions from the burning of fossil fuels. And yet they plug into the grid and the electrical grid, and they're getting energy recharge their vehicles. But some of that, or maybe a lot of that, is from, the burning of coal from some other place along the distribution power line. So the only real way you know is if you have your own solar panels and you're charging your house in your vehicle that way. But, some people think, I just assume that when I plug into the electrical grid that the electric company is giving me green, sustainable, renewable energy. Now, there are alternatives now, alternative suppliers, where they guarantee that, in some cases they'll say 80% is renewable or even 100% is renewable. That's a different story. So, electricity theft, somebody plugging in, I would assume if you get a high electric bill, then you probably would want to investigate why that is. And I remember somebody was stealing my water once. Actually, it was the surfers. I had a water spigot on the outside of my house, and they'd wash off the salt water from the ocean, from their wetsuits and their surfboards. And sometimes they would leave the water on, not full blast, but they wouldn't turn it off all the way, and it'd be dripping or maybe even slightly running, and it would go on for a while. So I removed the water spigot. So you might consider, if your electricity bill is high, you might want to remove your electrical outlet. And on that note, we're going to take a commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Powell to the People on the Healthy Life Radio Network.
It's Power to the People.
Shh! Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death. ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
If you're in Southern California, you might want to consider HealthyLife.net Radio for advertising. We have 18 hosts that have shows with loyal listeners just in Southern California. That means you get local advertising and the world for the same affordable price. With packages for every budget, you can't afford not to let that economic sun shine in for your business. Call now 1-800-555-5453. That's 1-800-555-5453.
When you need quality Auto Parts Warehouse is fast and easy. Always get the part that fits. Just enter your vehicle type to find the parts specific to your car. Auto body parts, mirrors, brakes, suspension and steering, engines and drivetrains. Need something yet? What about exterior and interior accessories or headlights? Auto Parts Warehouse has them. Top brands, great prices. Visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Auto Parts Warehouse.
Dwayne Johnson here. The earthquakes you see in movies are one thing, but real life is a completely different animal. Just because you can't predict an earthquake doesn't mean that you can't prepare for one. In the event of a real earthquake, you should drop, cover, and hold on. Visit ready.gov/earthquake and practice what to do to keep you and your family safe in the event of a real earthquake, and you'll be seen as a hero by your family and your loved ones.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
It's Power to the People. Welcome back. You're listening to Power to the People. Wayne Powell here at the beach. You know, regarding smart electrical meters, that was done because the electric companies save money. You know, they don't have to have more employees physically reading the meters. It's all fed to them electronically. Now, the way I recall they marketed, we didn't have a choice. They just did it and said why they were doing it. And one of the reasons was they said that you could actually monitor your own electric usage. And then maybe, you know, employ steps to reduce the cost of your electric bill by being more efficient. And you also, depending on the time of day, the rates are based on time of day. So there's certain times of day when you should be charging devices because the rate decreases. Or conversely, there's times of the day when there's high usage by all electrical users. And so it's like surge pricing where they charge you more. So but you could also tell if maybe you have a device that's using an inordinate amount of electricity. I actually got a device. It's called Kilowatt. I didn't buy it myself. I actually won it in a raffle. And you could plug it in, and it'll tell you your usage. It has Bluetooth, so you could download it to a tablet or a smartphone or, a computer, a laptop, or PC. And it'll tell you, you can see your usage. It won't tell you what is being the culprit. But I remember when I had a refrigerator and the compressor was on its last leg and the compressor was cycling on and off and on and off, and my electric bill was much higher, even though in some cases, like once when I was out of town for the week, a couple of weekends, my electric bill was higher when I thought, if anything, it should be lower. And then when my refrigerator went out and I got a new one, and that's when I realized that, that was the culprit. So, there are always advantages and disadvantages. But when somebody is saying, we're replacing your meters to save you money, or anything, they're taking steps, a large corporation, to save you money or make something more efficient for you, oftentimes it's really, it may or may not be doing that, but certainly it is on their end, and that's why they're really doing it. If it, saves someone, a corporation, increases their bottom line, their profit, and it saves me money, then hey, I'm all for it. But, sometimes the way things are marketed, they're not what whatever is being claimed, it's not what they're claiming it to be. Okay, so speaking about the prices, I'm going to talk about egg prices, but I got all choked up about it. it seems like they're coming down, and then, you know, the surcharges that, like, restaurants are adding, or maybe even rationing at, you know, certain grocery stores. But here's what's interesting. There was a federal investigation that was launched to see if there was price gouging. And now all of a sudden prices are coming down. I don't know if that's coincidental or, you know, if that's the reason why the prices are coming down. So I don't know, but I don't know that the situation with all of the chickens that had to be euthanized because of either they had bird flu or they were suspected of having bird flu, you know, that doesn't change overnight. So who knows about that? You know, I'm oftentimes skeptical about things. So, but it's kind of highly interesting that once federal investigation was launched, and now the prices seem to be coming down. Now, what was interesting was people generally, when the prices were much higher, people generally don't do comparison shopping for eggs or anything other than, like, big ticket items, like if you're shopping for a car or, you know, a large consumer electronic device, but, you know, or a refrigerator or whatever, you know. But people were price shopping for, you know, eggs, in part also because there was a time when some stores, the shelves were empty. You know, it reminded me back during the pandemic when you couldn't find toilet paper because people were hoarding it, and then they had to ration the product and there were empty shelves. But, you know, it was like sometimes if it's because there's a shortage and you can't find something, then yes, you do have to drive around. But if it's just to save money, you know, maybe you're spending more in gas and wear and tear on your car, then, you know, it may not even be worth it. So, but the prices are still high, but not like $11 to $12 for a dozen eggs. I mean, that was ridiculous. And that's what happens whenever there's a perceived shortage. Then people tend to take advantage of it, and price gouging is illegal, but, you know, trying to enforce it when it's widespread, you know, that's another matter. Anyways, something about eggs that happened to my next door neighbor. We were talking over the weekend, and he said, my wife and I got egged. And I didn't, you know, usually in the old days, it was like, you know, kids, they would egg a house, or they, you know, teepee it with toilet paper. But I didn't recall seeing any eggs on their house. I didn't see them cleaning it off. So I said, I don't know what you mean. How'd you get egged? Well, they were riding their bikes on the Strand, and they were just crossing the border between Hermosa Beach and Manhattan Beach, and a group of teenagers on e-bikes came up from behind him. All of a sudden, they felt on their backs, whack, 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 and something dripping down them, and then a bunch of giggling, and then they saw these e-bikers speed off. And so they were actually egged by a group of teenagers. Now, you might think that's kind of funny in a way, you know, but someone can actually get hurt doing that, and they do that to moving vehicles, I've heard now, as well. And, you know, it's just something that shouldn't be done. It's bad enough you have problems not with just teenage e-bikers, but even adults that think that when they're in a, you know, when they're on an e-bike, then the rules of the road doesn't apply to them, you know, particularly stop signs or red lights and such. Now, you know, for kids, some of them don't have licenses, so they may not necessarily be aware of the rules of the road, like, you know, lane changing or signaling or which side. But I think the basics, which side of the road you're supposed to be on or not, or what you're supposed to do at a stop sign and a red light. Now, I know this didn't just suddenly start with e-bikes. Regular bicyclists have done that for times, and, you know, sometimes I'm a little bit guilty of doing a rolling stop. Although I usually only ride my bike on the Strand, but now I'm going to think twice, maybe, or not wear some good clothes while I'm riding my bike. But the point I want to make is, yeah, it may be a nice trick or a funny thing to do, but it's not really safe, so don't do it. And on that note, we're going to take a commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Powell to the People on the Healthy Life Radio Network.
It's Power to the People.
Millions of Americans are without access to dental benefits, especially because of the high market demand for quality and affordable dental care in America. Now here comes DentalPlans.com. It's the leading online resource for discount dental plans and an alternative to dental insurance for families and individuals. Just visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on DentalPlans.com now and find your affordable dental care in America.
Okay, so you have a couple of days off, and you're planning to get away from stress. You may be planning to go across the world or even taking a staycation around town. Well, Hotels.com can get you a room in over 158,000 hotels, 60 countries, for 50% off. That's reducing stress already. Plus, collect 10 nights, and you'll get one night free. And there's no cancellation charges, no change fees. For the best deals, even last-minute deals, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Hotels.com.
Stuff, stuff, stuff. Where can I contain all of my stuff? How about this? The Container Store, the original storage and organization store. And I found their link on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. They have containers for everything, including the kitchen, the bathroom, trash and recycling, traveling, spring cleaning, and dorm rooms. Just about everything you can think of to contain your stuff. The Container Store, right on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
I'm Carol King. The opportunity to study music is one of the most valuable things we can give our young people. Music is a positive outlet for creative expression. It reinforces teamwork, communication, self-discipline, and focus, all skills that will benefit them in every aspect of their lives. If your school has a music program, encourage your child to use it. If it doesn't, work with others in your community and do whatever it takes to get one. I know how much my music programs and music teachers meant to me when I was growing up. Leave your kids a note for the future. Support music programs and music teachers in your school and community.
A public service announcement brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, and this station. Music, part of a sound education.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
It's Powell to the People.
Welcome back. You're listening to Powell to the People. Wayne Powell at the beach. And so I was just telling Jay, off the air, that maybe the solution might be get one of those high-pressure water spray guns. And if that ever happens to you, then you could get back at whoever egged you. Or actually, I got that idea not because I'm very creative, but apparently that's yet another thing that kids do now on e-bikes is they spray people with water. But maybe I wouldn't recommend getting back by spraying them, because if there's a bunch of them and they get angry, who knows what can happen. So, but again, as I said, going into the other side of the commercial, let's all be nice and respectful. So, moving on, we've had a swarm of earthquakes locally, like a 4.0 and a 4.2 in Malibu, and then, of course, they've had a number of aftershocks. And I haven't heard much about on the news. I remember when we had Dr. Lucy Jones before she retired from Caltech and the USGS. But, you know, she would say whether these are relieving pressure on faults, especially major faults like the San Andreas fault, or whether they're creating pressure. And I'm not so sure that the seismologies and exact science, whether they actually even know. Although they do put these sensors in the ground, I think that's probably only like around the San Andreas fault. I don't know what fault it was in Malibu, but we have what's called the Newport to Inglewood fault, and then there's another fault that runs under the ocean. It's where they call it the Ring of Fire. It's where the continental plates joined, but they're not joined. They butt up against each other, and I'm not sure what causes it, but they sometimes move from side to side or up and down. The up and down, they call it a thrust fault, and that's what creates the phenomenon of an earthquake. The energy creates shock waves, and, you know, that's what we feel when we have an earthquake. At least the ones that have happened in Malibu, and then I think there was one in Westlake Village, they were minor, as they say. You know, 4.0 or 4.2 sounds like a large number, but the Richter scale is exponentially increasing, and so the difference between, let's say, a 4.0 and a 5.0 is exponentially, you know, higher, much higher, and certainly if you have a 7.0 or 7.anything, you know, that's a significant earthquake. That's like, you know, what they predict to be the big one. I think it's like around 7.5 to 7.8. That's what they say, like the San Andreas fault is capable of having. But we always have these earthquakes that they then seem to say, oh, we had no idea that it was capable of doing that, or we didn't even know there was a fault there until now. So there's apparently a lot that's still unknown. But that's why I always tell everybody, you know, to have an earthquake preparedness kit in your car, in your house, and in your at your workplace, because you never know where you're going to be when the so-called big one hits, and you need to be self-sustained for, they used to say 72 hours, but now experts are saying a week or two. And, of course, in that kit, you need to have first aid supplies because people can get injured, not only from, you know, buildings that collapse, but just in general falling debris, you know, broken glass, heavy objects. Although they say you should secure heavy objects like TVs, you know, stereo systems, cabinets, and the like. You can't be too, what's the word I'm trying to think of? There's never too little, or there's never too much that you can do. There's always more that you can do to be to prevent, you know, any injuries from earthquakes. And on a future show, I'm going to go through and, you know, talk about all the things you can do. I remember I've done that in a couple of past shows over the past 7 years, and there's so much that you can't even talk about all of it on a one-hour show. But in a future show, you know, I'll be doing that. Well, you know, this week there's a few SpaceX rocket launches from Vandenberg Air Force Base. You know, I used to always have them in my calendar. I'd rush out and take a video or, you know, still photos and post it on Facebook. But now it's just like a common day event. And, you know, I don't get too many likes on social media anymore because it's like, okay, well, you know, we've been there, done that, and seen it all. So now I don't, you know, really waste any time. It's good exercise, maybe, you know, getting out down to the beach and whatever. But I do that anyways. I need a rocket launch for that. say, you know, exercise is good, but if it's something that prompts you to, you know, get off your couch or whatever, and you know, do it, then, you know, whatever. The only problem I have is with all of that, you know, all of the satellites in the air, you know, what goes up must come down, and they say things burn up on reentry. Yeah, but not totally. And then they say, yeah, but two-thirds of the Earth is ocean. So, but do we want a bunch of junk coming into the ocean, going down into the ocean, and polluting the ocean? But sometimes they don't land on, you know, out at sea. They land on land. And, you know, even the most smallest projectile, like, you know, they've had nuts or bolts come off of aircraft, and at 30,000 feet, with the velocity when it hits something, you know, it's just like you shoot, they say don't shoot guns up in the air like on New Year's or on the 4th of July. People think, oh, well, it'll go up in the air and it'll just float back down. But again, principles of gravity and Newton's laws of physics, what everything has an equal and opposite reaction, so with the same force, so eventually it comes down with the same force that it came out of the muzzle of the gun. And same thing with small particulates. You know, some of these vehicles, satellites, they lose parts. And I remember Russia once, they would explode their old obsolete satellites because maybe some of them were spy satellites and they didn't want anyone to get access to the secrets, and that created a lot of space junk. That some of it's still out there orbiting the Earth. And in fact, they have to be careful because sometimes those things hit, you know, they've, like the International Space Station has been struck a number of times. So, you know, one other thing about space is it's interesting. The two astronauts that were just going to be up at the space station for a few days to conduct some experiments, and then the Boeing rocket that launched them there had all kinds of problems, and they couldn't bring them back down in that one. And so the astronauts had to wait like over 9 months, and they finally, you know, came down. But they were talking about, you know, oh, well, they said was people weren't injured, but they were being carried out of the capsule by stretcher because they have to adjust to from zero gravity to gravity, and they can't exactly walk for initially. But that was kind of interesting. Anyways, on that note, that's all the time we have. I want to thank my listeners for listening to my show. And remember, power is the ability to do good things for others and to make the community and the world a better place. This is Wayne Powell sending you positive thoughts and good wishes. Stay safe, be well, and have a great week. We'll see you back next Monday. Until then, bye for now.
Powell, it's Powell to the people. You're listening to Wayne Powell on Powell to the People. It's Powell, Powell to the people. You're listening to Wayne Powell on Powell to the People.